And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We are broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach right here in Baltimore, Maryland. Great to be with you, friends, on this Thursday morning. And, of course, this being Thursday, we've got another great message that we're going to be sharing with you from the preaching ministry of Grace Hour host and founder of the broadcast, Pastor Carl Stevens. Today's message entitled, Christian Unity. Being one, Jesus said, as I and the Father are one. And again, those words taken right from the Upper Room Discourse, which we've been highlighting and discussing all week long here at the Grace Hour. And we can read about that Upper Room Discourse in John's Gospel, chapters 13 through 17. So stay tuned for that message, a theme of Christian unity, being one, just as Jesus and the Father are one. So that prayer of unity that Christ had for us will become a reality in our lives. So stay tuned for the message, and following the message, of course, we'll open the phone lines and hope that you'll join us. And we invite you to do so. It's quite simple. Get to a phone, dial one of these numbers, and then participate in the broadcast. Share your thoughts with us on this wonderful theme and our subject throughout this week, the Upper Room Discourse. One of those three major teachings of Christ that we find in the New Testament. And when the phone lines are open, you can dial the toll-free number in all of North America, and you can join us right here, live, at 800-338-7060. That is the toll-free number. And again, whether you're in Canada, continental United States, wherever you may be found in anywhere in North America, give us a call at that number. The local number here in Baltimore, for everyone listening locally, again, our broadcast comes to you from Baltimore, Maryland. That number is 410-483-3700. And we do want to remind you that we are live at gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live. The podcast can also be heard on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, and Stitcher, to name a few. And again, if you would like to email us at any time during the broadcast, you can. Our email address is questions@gracehour.org. And of course, we welcome all of your comments or questions if you would like to reach out to us that way, live on those platforms, gracehour.org, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Again, when the phone lines are open, we really look forward to hearing from you. Hope that you will be sharing your thoughts with us in the form of a comment or question, a testimony, even a counseling need. And we want you to know as well that your prayer requests are always welcome here on the Grace Hour. And we love to hear from you when you have those needs and share those needs with the listeners around the globe. Well, Pastor Jason Moore has joined us in the studio, and together we're going to be listening to this tape message from Pastor Stevens. And again, we'll break up this message, and we'll be back with you in just a few minutes following the first portion, and we'll make some comments, and then we'll go back for the second portion. And I think we have three separate portions today. And again, we'll take a break between each of them, share some thoughts with you, and then again at the conclusion of the message, invite you to join us live as well. So let's listen to today's Grace Hour message from Pastor Stevens, entitled Christian Unity, Being One, Jesus Said, As I and the Father Are One.
What is Christian unity? It has been interfered with, it has been simulated, perverted, tampered with, and counterfeited. I want to say that again. What should be in the church should be in a marriage every day of the life of those in the marriage contract as Christians. It's been interfered with. It has been tampered with. It has been perverted. It has been simulated. And it has been counterfeited. Christian unity is not something formal. It is not something formal. It is something spiritual. Christian unity is not somebody creating uniformity. And that's exactly as much as the average person knows about Christian unity. It's not creating uniformity. It is going beyond ourselves. Going beyond ourselves. Christian unity is more than an ecclesiastical agreement. It goes far beyond an ecclesiastical agreement to have your hair cut above your ears, not to have a beard or mustache, and not to go to movies. It goes far beyond that. Ecclesiastical admixture. Christian unity has been mocked by Satan on a consistent basis. The unity of the church has been mocked. Therefore, Christian unity is far more than a very good relationship where two people feel comfortable with one another. It is far greater than that. That is not exactly what we mean by Christian unity. By considering these various principles, we create these various things and call it unity and have peace, when in reality we do not have peace. That is, we don't have the peace of God that passes understanding. God's love is always revealing something new that we never learned before from some people. A new kind of kindness, a new kind of love, a new kind of manifestation that we have not seen before. So Christian unity, as beautiful as it is, means more than to be like-minded, although it means that. It goes far beyond that. What is Christian unity? Christian unity is each person that lives in union with Christ. Christian unity is each person that lives in union with Christ. Christ in a Christian, having his way. Christ in a Christian, having his way. Same purpose, laboring together. Christian unity is when we accept doctrine as a standard. Isaiah 8:20b. First we've got to know it, and then we accept the doctrine as the only standard. Christian unity, then, is union with Christ, Christ in a Christian, the same purpose and labors for the same motive and the same results, oneness and identification with the cross. And Christian unity is individuals who are willing to be baptized with his baptism. Now, we do not share the cross of atonement, but we share the suffering which exhibits the power of faith. Only Christ could offer vicarious atonement, but we do suffer oneness with the cross as we exhibit our power of faith and take up our cross and follow him. This is the reason why thousands and thousands of believers just do not have Christian unity. Why they do not have union with Christ. Why do they do not have the Word controlling their soul. Why they create uniformity and why they begin to call party spirits unity. Satan mocks at it. And unity is interfered with and it's formal and not spiritual. The reason is that most believers do not ever become baptized with his baptism. They don't drink of the cup. What does it mean to drink of the cup? Paul spoke of it in the first chapter of Colossians when he said that he was suffering for the sake of the church to fill up what had been unaccomplished. Now what does that mean? In Colossians 1:24, some suffering is yet unaccomplished and Paul was filling it up. It means that Christ did partake of his cup, but the church has a cup to drink. And until the church is willing to drink of her cup, then there'll be no unity. If the church is trying to preserve her reputation, if she's trying to preserve her rights, if she's trying to preserve her name, her local assembly, her denominational label, her universal acceptance, her geographical preference, then there will be no unity because the church is not drinking of her cup.
Well, that's the conclusion, friends, of the first portion of today's message on the subject of Christian unity. And some great thoughts, Pastor Jason, just to get things started on this Thursday morning. I love that statement. You know, when we're talking about unity, this is biblical unity. We're not talking about uniformity. Everybody, you know, looking the same, dressing the same, even thinking the same. Of course, we all have that, the mind of Christ, but yet at the same time, unity in the body of Christ also encompasses great diversity, which is amazing. Because a lot of people think that you can't have unity when you have diversity.
I think it's so important. I mean, I love how one writer says it. It's unity is it's oneness, but it's not sameness, right? We could say that same principle. And I think the flavor of like-minded people that are spirit-filled can really bring a tremendous expression of God's purpose, like Pastor said here, it's God's purpose, God's doctrine, God's standard. It's so important because I think the world is full of different types of people, and the diversity is what reaches diverse people.
Yeah. And of course, what's so amazing about this kind of unity that he's speaking about is this isn't something that we have to create and generate and bring about ourselves. I mean, the world is attempting to do that. They've always attempted to do that. You know, you might see the bumper stickers with all of the different religious symbols recognizing each of the world's different religions, you know, all together. In other words, let's be one. You know, let's create this unity. God never says that. He never says and never asks us to create unity. He tells us that we have, by one Spirit, been baptized into one body. Whether we're Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. That's spiritual unity. And we don't have to create that. We don't have to try to bring it to pass. It's something that God has done for us. Now, there is, and we heard it in the message a moment ago, we do have this responsibility, endeavoring to keep the unity, you know, to make sure that, you know, we don't allow our own personal opinions and ideas and thoughts fracture that unity, but on the contrary, that we would strengthen that unity and do everything we can within our power to maintain it, because the eyes of the watching world are upon us.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you bring up a good point. I've seen that bumper sticker that says, let's coexist. And that's just a myth because, like, I love what Pastor Stevens was saying here, that the unity comes from union with Jesus Christ. So it's not the relenting of a standard. It's actually setting up a standard that people would submit to. And I think this is why our world is so chaotic in all their genders. I think they're up to almost 200 genders now. It's the most absurd thing on the planet. That it's God accepts everyone in his Son, and then there's a beautiful blessing, right? Psalm 133, the blessing of unity. So, and he brings up a good point again. It's not uniformity or sameness. It's oneness. It's this Acts 4:32 principle, which is a verse I've been thinking about a lot. It's they're of one accord, one mind, one heart, and there's one mission. As Ephesians 4:4-6 says the same thing. So I think our world is chaotic, in chaos, wouldn't you say, Pastor Love? Because literally they are gaining unity by removing the standard. So then there's chaos.
Yeah, no question about it. And it's just, it's rather liberating to think that we don't have this responsibility, and nor does God ask us to create this kind of unity. Mm. He just tells us, you have it in Christ. Recognize it. And then do everything you can to maintain it. Because, again, the eyes of the world are upon us. And, of course, if they see believers biting and devouring each other, that sends a message. That this was really the prayer in John chapter 17 that Jesus had, that they would be one, just as you and I, Father, are one, that the world would know that you have sent me. So there's a powerful message conveyed to the world when Christian unity is manifested.
Hmm. But even that love, like we see so much on these lawn signs, love is love, and it's this flim-flammy kind of liberalism, secularism. But love has a standard, and it's in truth. And I think you just quoted John 17:17 says, sanctify them in our truth, for your word is truth. So again, unity comes by having that standard and union with Christ. I think those three words that Pastor Stevens brought up here are really key, because you cannot have unity without submission to the standard or union of who Christ is. Otherwise, you can have cooperation. You can certainly have like-mindedness. But if there's not the same purpose, then there will, when troubles come, and they will, to prove the system that you're, or foundation that you're sitting it on, it will fail. But in Christ, it'll never fail.
Amen. Well, let's get back to the second portion of today's Grace Hour message, and then we'll be back with you live to discuss it in our studio. So back to the message, be one, as Jesus said, I and the Father are one.
Now, that's the difference in many people in their fellowship in every local church. When the cup comes, some people murmur and complain because the cup will come in differences in Christian day school. The cup will come in a classroom. The cup will come in a dorm. The cup will come in many different ways. And the cup always has a purpose to teach us how to enter into his baptism. If that is not understood by the cup, then unfortunately there will be no Christian unity. And Satan will mock the likes of professing Christianity. So in Psalm 116, the Word of God says this, verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. But in verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. In other words, the cup that starts at the cross for salvation, I will take it. And I will use that cup to reward God for all he did for me. And I will call upon God's nature. I will pay my vows unto the Lord in the presence of all his people. Verse 18, I'll pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of his people. So with this, the psalmist understood something about the value of the cup, because the cup is so very important. Is Christ divided? No, he isn't. But when a situation comes in our lives and we do not have the grace of God to go beyond ourselves, then there is no possible way we can experience unity. Somebody comes up and says something to you that you don't think they should say. You think they mistreated you. What do you do to keep the unity? Well, Ephesians 4:3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity in the spirit and bond of peace. At that moment, you endeavor to keep the unity. Or you react and make a display of your old Adam nature. And usually because of pride, you never go back to that person and repent. And you live a lifetime having a formal relationship with that man or woman, but not a spiritual one. And usually if you're proud, you blame that person for the relationship being limited. And Satan and demons can mock, even though the relationship may not be difficult because you're able to establish a formal rapport. But a formal rapport is far, far from love in action. It's far from being like-minded, the spiritual sense of Romans 15:5, or being kindly affectioned one to another in Romans 12:10. And so what happens is you put it on the shelf, the relationship is arrested, you don't give it any more thought, but you don't drink the cup to make that relationship spiritual. You don't partake of the cup. Well, yes, Jesus was speaking of his death to those men when he said, you indeed will be baptized with the baptism that I'm to be baptized with, but if we go into the identification of the cross in Romans 6:4-7, There was a constant identification with that cup in the practical life of reckoning that we're dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ in Romans 6:11. Therefore, when believers have the same purpose and the same oneness and the same standard and the same Holy Spirit, then we begin to consider what it means to suffer for the body's sake. We're not suffering for our sake. And our motive is not the rewards that we will get. We begin to learn what it means to be baptized with his baptism, not in a vicarious sense, but in the sense of exhibiting the power of faith and revealing his nature through the Word of God. And then we rejoice in our sufferings, Paul said, for you, and fill up that which is unaccomplished since Jesus died. The suffering has not yet all been accomplished that must be done for the body's sake. So Paul is a minister according to that dispensation, and you and I, as members of the New Testament church, we have a very definite and specific cup to drink for Christ's church before the church reaches its full accomplishment. That's why the details of life are placed into our pathway, such as they are. Detail suffering in small details and major details. We are called upon to fill up something that has been unaccomplished. And Christ gave his church an opportunity to drink of his cup for the body's sake. Now, very few people understand that, and therefore they do not understand unity. And so unity is distorted and perverted and misunderstood and mocked by Satan, simulated often because it's totally and completely tampered with. Don't ever tamper with the unity of Christ's body. He prayed five times that we may be one. And that's a tremendous prayer. That we may be one, even as they are one. Then he explained its possibility. He said, even as I was in you and you were in me, I will be in them and they will be in me. And if they abide in my doctrinal words, and my doctrine abides in them, John 15, if that abiding life literally transpires, then you can ask what you will, because the unity of God will motivate your soul life.
And that's the conclusion of the second portion of today's Grace Hour message, friends, on the subject and the theme of Christian unity. Jesus saying that I and the Father, we are one. And his prayer five times that Pastor Stevens mentioned, that unity would be something that we experience, not only recognize it, but experience it in our lives. Pastor?
Yeah, just timeless principles here, just thinking of that verse in Ephesians, endeavoring to keep the unity. And in relationships, he brings up a great point. Are we going to give him the pride and reaction of Adam? Or are we going to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, which are key words, because it's so easy to try to fix or to try to keep the process to be in a place of order and unity, but really it's the Spirit. If the Spirit is right, then the process will be right. If the Spirit is right, the purposes will be right. If the Spirit is right, the ultimate goal will be right or righteous. So, and then he brings up a lot of interesting points, Pastor Love, about the cup. He kept mentioning the cup, and that's a fresh thought. Like again, like we are abiding in Him, in union with Him, and then again we have His life in the details. Just some great points there.
Yeah, and of course that cup contains so many different things: suffering, heartache, trouble, crises, and how we respond to what's in our cup really has a great impact on the unity that is presented to the world. And I think that, again, if you go back to that prayer in John chapter 17 and verse 21, Jesus said, that they may all be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. That kind of unity has a profound impact to such a great extent that the world may believe that you have sent me. Now, what if the world does not see that kind of unity? We can draw the conclusion that they could make this evaluation. Well, the world hasn't, you know, we don't recognize that God has sent his son. I mean, that, you know, you could say, wait a minute, that's not doctrinally correct. Well, let's remind ourselves, the world doesn't care about doctrine. They don't understand doctrine. They don't know it. All they can do is make an evaluation based upon what they can see. But when they see unity, the kind that he's describing in this message today, they get a message. And it could even be used by God to bring them ever closer to a relationship with God based on faith.
Yeah, I think that's a huge point. We tend to maybe talk at the unbeliever, but really they have no idea. The flesh has no comprehension of the things of God. So the demonstration of love, the demonstration of grace, the demonstration of mercy, it really sends the message, because the world is full of chaos. I mean, just look at, you know, I read something recently how fear is like a magnifying glass. It just magnifies just worst case scenario. But again, when the believers have unity, there's abiding. And like in John 17 here, they see a clear message. They see a clear way, because in God's unity is God's order. I mean, somebody, we could say, why am I going through all these details in my family? And the question is, you know, it all comes back to my walk of faith. Like, what is the order of my walk of faith? What is my foundation? If I'm out of God's order, then there will be confusion. There'll be disunity. And especially in the church, like, that's why one of the things that is written there in Proverbs chapter 6, one of the things that God hates is sowing discord. I mean, that is a serious thing to God, and that hijacks or fragments unity. And that doesn't mean we deny or cover up anything. It just means we talk to the right people in humility, and we become part of the solution rather than throwing rocks at glass houses, right? But in general, John 17, it's like Jesus is saying, if you're yoked up with me, you'll also have my anointing. You'll have my order. And if we have the foundation right, the building will be right. And that's just the expression of unity. Like, even on a team, you play basketball, right? If your team is going in all these different directions, if everyone wants to be the hero, guess what?
No victory.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, you've got to be, everybody's got to be on the same page.
Yep.
Right? You've got to be all moving together with one great goal and objective. Otherwise, you know, you have a fractured team, the results will always be the same.
Yeah.
And isn't it interesting, too, that it's almost like the table is being set for future events in the world? Because the world is so, they're so fixated on creating this kind of unity that you can just see how all of it is bringing us down a road where when Antichrist arises out of the sea, we read about it in the book of Revelation, the 13th chapter, and comes to power, they're finally going to have the man who is going to give them the kind of unity that they've always wanted. I mean, the world has never been able to experience it or achieve it, but during the tribulation period, after the church is removed from the earth during the rapture, then you're going to have Antichrist come to power, and he is the one who is going to create this false sense of unity. And then the people of the world will be galvanized together under his leadership and say, we finally got our man, and we finally got our goal, and that is to unite the world. And it's a false unity, and we know that well, we know what the results will be ultimately.
No, it's so true. You can, it's almost palpable. You can almost, the one world government, the, or how about this, a term I've been learning about is the world, the citizen of the world. It's like the whole idea of countries are being just dumbed down. And one thing that's amazing about our walk of faith, Pastor Love, is we have, like we heard last night, I mean, Pastor Peter Wastera had an incredible word last night about on grace. It's like, as a believer, we have unity in our identity in Christ. We're yoked up with him. And our individual walk is very personal and unique. But in communism or this one world government, you lose those two things for the greater good, or in communism, it's the communal way of you live for someone else. I mean, that sounds good, but really your dictation, you've lost your power of choice. You're pretty much dictated to. But in Christ, when we're yoked up with him, we become like him. And that standard sets us free. And that's a beautiful thing, because that false peace in Revelation 6:2 that you're talking about, you know, he's going to, you know, Antichrist is going to demand worship. He's going to be the man of peace the first 3.5 years. And then it's going to really, really be another show.
Yeah, altogether. Yeah, you hear terms so often today about global economy.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be we would be focusing on the economy of our nation, but now it's more, it's got to be the global economy that matters and that's impacting all of our lives. Well, let's go back to the third and final portion of today's message on the subject of Christian unity.
Now, that's the difference in many people and their fellowship in every local church. When the cup comes, some people murmur and complain because the cup will come in differences in Christian day school. The cup will come in a classroom. The cup will come in a dorm. The cup will come in many different ways. And the cup always has a purpose to teach us how to enter into his baptism. If that is not understood by the cup, then unfortunately there will be no Christian unity. If any man loses his soul life, he'll find it in eternal life. And if anyone suffers the loss of his eternal privilege as a Christian, he'll lose all the purpose of why he was living on earth. Now, having understood this, it is time that God's people took very seriously what the Word of God is teaching about true unity. It has to be Isaiah 8:20b, according to God's Word. No one can experience it apart from Matthew 4:4. Living by every single word of God is the only way that unity, true unity, can take place. Union with Christ through abiding in his words, resting in his character, allowing his words to rest in us. That's unity. It comes from a very beautiful union that goes beyond positional union. And therefore, Christ is never divided. The fruit of his Spirit is expressed so uniquely. And even as Christ endured the cross and despised the shame to pay for the sins of the whole world, and only as many as receive him get saved, but he paid for the sins of the whole world. Even so, in returning benefits to him, we take the cup and drink it. That means we lay down our lives, literally, in 1 John 3:16, for each other. The wife goes an entire month and never says one negative thing to her husband, not one. She's not under law. She can be realistic and practical, but she's drinking from the cup. The life out of the cross. The power of divine provision, the Holy Spirit constantly filling her. She's in union with Christ's thoughts, and Christ's thoughts control her soul life, and She doesn't love her Adam life. She loves her new eternal life, Spectrum in Jesus Christ. And she drinks to feed her soul life with eternal life. She will not accept anything but that. She doesn't want it. So in her home, she manifests to the angels. In her private thought life, she expresses to the world that she is a spectacle under, in 1 Corinthians 4:9. And she lives her life as unto the Lord, and she's a spectacle unto the world, and unto Satan, and unto demons, and unto God's angels, and unto the spirits of just men made perfect. But she does so drinking from the cup. The husband begins to learn that he, more than any other thing in the universe, has a responsibility of spiritual headship. Not formal headship. Not letter headship. And for him to take his spiritual headship means that he will be challenged in the newness of it by his own wife, even though she says she wants it. She says she wants it, but when it comes into the details and cuts into her flesh, she will say often, "I'm not sure that I do want it after all." Because 1 Corinthians 11:3 and 4 is becoming a practical reality. Many Christians live in spiritual fantasy and call it reality. They fantasize what they'd like, but when the reality comes, they don't want it. For this reason, a husband must get his house in order. And most husbands do not get their house in order because they're not getting along that bad. You don't get your house in order by condemning or by screaming or hollering or arguing or playing lord over your wife. In no way do you have a right to do that, and that's not how it's established. But you get your house in order by yourself getting in union with Christ and letting his words abide in you, and you abide in his words, and it becomes a union, and you begin to live mentally in unity with God's thoughts. Because most of the problems come when believers and men do not live in unity with God's thoughts. There's a diabolical opposition against their thought process. Often there's a diabolical conspiracy being exhibited within their soul. We've often explained this diabolical conspiracy as being this: their mind says one thing and their emotions feel the opposite, and they conspire against each other to fight for preeminence within the individual's heart. They bring in spiritual fatigue and exhaustion, mental exhaustion and weariness into the soul of the individual where the conspiracy is demonstrated. So the man must understand that in his spiritual leadership, he must, beyond any question, have his thought in unity with God's mind. Before he even deals with his marriage. And that means if she is the worst she's ever been, his thoughts remain quiet, calm, peaceful, and in unity with God's mind. That means no matter what she does to challenge him with her flesh, he keeps his union with Christ experientially. Now, this is something extremely practical that just is not exhibited in the midst of most people. Even those that live the best, it's just not exhibited, not really. Oh, there are formal relationships that are good ones. There are religious associations in marriage and friendships which are fine because both parties have adjusted to what it takes to coexist. There is a measure of God's love that is often revealed. But I'm talking about something far deeper than that this morning. I'm talking about answering God's prayer. Answering Christ's prayer.
And that's the conclusion, friends, of today's Grace Hour message on the subject of Christian unity, being one, just as Jesus and his Father are one. And that same unity, that's what he prayed for in the lives of his people. Phone lines are now open. This is a great time for you to give us a call if you'd like to make a comment or weigh in, ask a question, perhaps a counseling need, maybe a testimony about the subject of unity. If you'd like, take the opportunity and join us live at 800-338-7060. And that's toll-free in all of North America. And right here in Baltimore, you can join us, friends, at 410-483-3700. Wow. Great message on the subject theme of unity. And he touched on so many areas. I mean, the home, the marriage, the body of Christ. unity is something that has to be a part of our lives in every sense of life itself. And I like that statement. You know, many Christians live in spiritual fantasies and not in the reality of life. Because when reality comes, that's the real test regarding as to whether or not we'll be living in unity.
Yeah, you think of the home life. The home life in particular is really, it demands maturity, doesn't it? And so many demand control and dictation and order sometimes. Like you'd mentioned, there'll be the yelling and the whole commanding. But really unity, I love what he says here. It's being in union with God's thoughts. And you're demonstrating God's mind and God's spirit and God's, you're not just barking words, but now you're living in the reality of those words. And I think that's key in the home because, you know, like I thought of that word communion as he was speaking, like communication comes from what I'm communing with, what's going on in my heart. So the same thing with communion. It's not, marriage is not like a partnership. It's really, we're becoming one. We're becoming in union with each other as one individual before God. So communion, like what is going on in my heart? If I'm submitted and abiding in his thoughts, then there isn't that diabolical conspiracy. That last sentence was powerful. You know, fatigue and mental exhaustion, you know, that there's no longer that tug of war, but now we're resting in the spirit before the Lord and demonstrating what we want our spouse to learn or to understand, right?
Yeah. A great statement, as you said, aligning your thoughts with God's mind. That's so vital in every aspect of our lives because if our thoughts are separate from God's mind and God's thoughts, you can see how the conflicts could not only be found, but then really confound any relationship that we are a part of. You think about it, you know, somebody says, well, I've got this habit in my life, I've got to break it. You don't break bad habits. You replace thoughts and thought patterns that create bad habits with new thought patterns, the mind of God. And that's how change happens in our lives. And we all long for that. We all want that. It's the desire of every human. But it doesn't become a reality in our lives as believers until we start to internalize the Word of God. Mm. And we start to mix faith with what we hear and, you know, take those promises, hide them deeply in our hearts, meditate upon them, churn them over and over in our minds. It's kind of like a song that you hear and you keep hearing it. Well, you know, it's like it's going to be deposited within you because it's revolving in your mind. And before you know it, you know, you find yourself singing it, humming it, whistling it, and you don't even realize that it happens because it subconsciously finds its way into our souls. And, you know, imagine if we on purpose took the words of God and hid them that way in our souls, you know. Just meditating. I remember going in for a surgical procedure once and having to need general anesthesia. And my final thought before I went into surgery was, I was quoting to myself Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And apparently when I came out of the unconscious state I was in, out of the anesthetic, it wore off. I was in the recovery room, and I was saying something, but they had a little oxygen mask over my mouth, and the nurse heard me saying something, and so, you know, she went over and moved the mask, and then she said to my wife, I think he's trying to say something. And apparently I was quoting Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And the woman, the nurse, said to my wife, what's he saying? She says, oh, he's quoting the Bible. She goes, he's quoting the Bible? I says, yes. And she says, I've never heard anybody do that when they, you know, came out of, you know, out of surgery like that. But that's what was on my mind. Mm. And if those thoughts, God's thoughts, we're revolving God's thoughts in our minds, well, you know, that's healthy for the soul.
Wow. And he brings that up in his message here that we can be thinking something and feeling something very different. I think for our emotions to have unity with our mind is when we're abiding in the heart of God. Like you're saying, that meditation, that churning, that giving yourself wholly to them, that 2 Timothy 4:15. I think we can live in spiritual fantasies. That's such a good term because, you know, someone can talk about the cross like it's some, and it is a wonderful thing, but something happens when you go to the cross. You die. That's the only way resurrection life happens. So to have our mind be saturated in the mind of Christ, like you're saying, then our emotions will follow, our will follow, our language will follow, our feet will follow. Yeah. Yeah. So
it's so good,
very important
to saturate the soul with Scripture, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, just to make that the habit of our lives. You know, some people would say, well, what's that going to benefit me? How's that going to be a blessing in my life if I saturate my soul with the Scripture? In more ways than you can even imagine. Mm. In more ways than you can even imagine. Try it. You know, we challenge you today. Just saturate your soul. Your soul is like a sponge. Mm. Saturate it with the truth of God's Word, and you will deal with your trials differently. You will deal with the tests of life differently. And whatever you find in your cup, when the soul is saturated with the Word of God, you're going to realize it's made a huge difference in your life. Phone lines are open, friends. We'd love to hear from you at 800-338-7060 and the local number 410-483-3700. We have, I would say 13 minutes or so left in the broadcast, which is plenty of time for you to reach out to us. So go to your phones immediately. Don't wait. And don't wait till the end of the broadcast when we have to sign off. Come right, go to your phones right now and fill up those lines. David is joining us again, South Bristol, Maine, and he's going to share a comment with us. Apparently, your dad's boat is named Unity?
Yes, it's gone now, but when we bought it, it was named the Unity, and we had many great times together listening to the Grace Hour on the boat when we were fishing, And I was very grateful for him when I was coming back on a very rough night, straight into the wind and pounding the bow. And he spent so much time below the waterline refastening and caulking and scraping and painting. And he took very good care of everything underwater. He lacked a little bit above the waterline, which did give me some problems, but... pounding back home that night, I was so grateful, and I am now, for every nail and every fastener he put in that boat, because I'd be dead if he hadn't have worked so hard. Mm. And I think unity in the body of Christ, it does take daily work and investment and a lot of love and a lot of faith. And it's just a wonderful thing to believe and know that I'm part of the body of Christ, and God has put us on such a stable ship and given us a course to follow. So
yeah, amen.
Yeah,
thank you, David. That's a great thought. Appreciate the call. You know, someone came yesterday after the Grace Hour program ended, or it might have been the day before, and they are new to the church and they're from Haiti. And this woman came and she says, I need to know what steps do I need to take to become a member of this church? I said to her, you're a believer? Yes. Well, you already are. Because that's what membership is in the body of Christ. You're baptized by one Spirit into the body. And she kind of was relieved because I get the idea from her that she has been in churches in the past where there were some conditions that, you know, are necessary in relationship to church membership. But when you're a part of the body of Christ, you're in. You've been placed in Christ and placed by the Spirit into the body. And now, as David just said, our responsibility is not to create that unity, but just to do everything we can to keep the unity.
It seems to be one of the most popular questions, you know, and I always ask people, did Jesus have membership? I mean, you know, in that sense, but I love that. If you've been here 5 minutes, 5 years, 50 years, you're treated the same. And, you know, we understand the accountability and all these things that people are looking for, but I think in the spirit of love and unity, which is based in truth, you're going to find all that you are looking for, really.
Amen. Let's go back to the phones. George is joining us locally here from the Baltimore area. George, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Hi, Pastor Love. Hi, Pastor Jason. Yeah, I love what you've been sharing. And but on Tuesday, I just got a quick testimony. You know, I went, you know, had to go to the hospital for a colonoscopy, so I'm sitting there. And who comes walking through the door but Pastor Tim, Sylvius, and Francis come in, you know, and find out that we both have the same specialist. But Pastor Tim has such a beautiful testimony on, you know, what he's went through with, you know, being healed and everything, you know, from colon cancer and stuff. And he had explained, you know, that he had a colonoscopy and then 6 months later, he had a clear one. And 6 months later, he was at stage four, you know. And it's just, and this is what was like going to be his like little final procedure. And they were going home to burn all their cancer papers, you know.
Wow.
And yeah, it was really just beautiful time. And then we got to be in the rooms right across and we're looking at each other and waving to each other. And we're talking about the Lord and all the nurses were getting, you know, having fun with us. And, you know, it was just a great time, you know. And it made me think too, you know, like after it was just such a beautiful time and how personal of a God we have, you know? You know, it was just like, he was there to comfort, you know, comfort me. That day I was feeling the anxiety because I had a positive comeback on a Cologuard test, you know, and that's why I was there for the colonoscopy. And it turned out I had some stuff go on. I'm not going to get into all the details, but by the grace of God, it looks like I'm going to be okay. Yeah, so I'm thinking along these lines and thinking of what you also were saying, you know, in previous comments during the show, and I thought about presenting your body as a living sacrifice before God. I also remember Dr. Stevens preaching a message on God wants our time, you know, and on redeeming the time, you know, and as you see the day approaching, you know, redeeming the time, and the days are really moving quickly now, and it's amazing how many, like, God is presenting opportunities to us now that we haven't seen before, you know, like, since the pandemic, there is an openness. You run into people now that are much more open to hear the gospel than before. And I just think it's a great time for us to really, really experience, you know, just the witness of the Spirit to touch other people's lives and to love people and meet them right where they're at, you know. And it's a great time for soul winning. I just think it's a great time for that, you know.
Yeah,
and yeah, yeah. And that's about all I got.
Awesome. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I'm glad to hear you say that because, you know, some people would think just the opposite. Oh, you know, the pandemic has just worn me out and I don't have any vision. I don't have any real purpose. I still want to stay behind closed doors. I still want to just mask up and, you know, not just mask up literally, but I want to kind of mask up spiritually.
Mm.
On the contrary, George, your thoughts are taking us in the direction of fulfilling the Great Commission and the vision that God has given us, and that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Thanks so much for the call.
Love you.
God bless.
I don't know, the pandemic in me has created more resolve, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was just thinking as George was talking, remember Pastor Stevens used to talk about marrying a promise? This is a term that is such a valuable term in our history that And it reminds me of unity when we marry a promise. We come into agreement with what God says, and then our whole spirit man is in unity with the spirit of that promise, and the power of that promise is now expressed in Psalm 133. And so the question, you know, I ask myself is, who am I yoked up with? Am I yoked up with the promise? Am I abiding in what we've heard today in the power of truth? Or am I yoked up with fear? Am I yoked up with my own rational reasonability? And this kind of, we live in the effect of those things, don't we, Pastor Love? Like, marrying a promise means there's a union, a communion, and there's a beautiful agreement, not a partnership. It's not 50-50. It's 100% God. And we're living in that. So I don't know, just kind of an additive thought there. Marrying a promise.
Amen. Yeah. I think the Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 principle of mixing faith with a promise is so vital. Mm. Because, you know, we read in one of the parables Jesus spoke about the seed, which is the word, falling on the different types of soil, which are the different types of souls. And one of those was the shallow soul, which is the seed, you know, falls on it, but it never takes any root. And then the birds of the air come and carry the seed away. And the birds of the air often speak of Satan and his demonic forces, you know, does not want the word of God to take root in our hearts, because that would bring forth fruit. Mm. So, you know, but think about it. When we mix faith with the word of God, what's essentially happening? The word becomes light in our souls. And you can't steal the light. You can steal the word in its seed form, but when you mix faith with the word, it becomes light in your soul, and that can't be taken from you.
Absolutely.
And again, that light is what we so desperately need to walk in this dark world today.
Mm.
So again, yeah, marrying those promises, mixing faith with those promises, saturating your soul with the promises of God, and again, experiencing that unity that comes when we have unity with Christ.
Amen. Pastor, just to see on one of the chats here, Vladimir Medvedsky, it's just good to hear from him.
Amen.
From the Ukraine. We are praying for the Ukraine daily. Lots of amazing things happening in there as far as the gospel, lots of testimonies, humanitarian aid. Thank God for Vladimir. It's good to see him on this
Amen.
Chat.
Amen. And all of you, Ilhan, Brian, Tonita, Suzette, thanks for joining us on Facebook Live and YouTube Live today. Out of time, friends. Thank you so much. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll wrap up wonderful words from the upper room. And you can join us for our Friday broadcast. Until then, may God bless you.